Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today we have as our first reading from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 1 to 9. Once again, I want to encourage you, if at all possible, that you have your Bible with you. And if you don't have a Bible, get one. Have your Bible with you so that you're actually hearing the word through two senses, both your hearing and your sight. Don't do it while you're driving. But if at all possible, it's good to have it through two senses because we're so easily distracted, even for a moment, and we can miss some things that the Lord is saying to us. So I want to encourage you to have your Bibles with you. My translation would be the New American Bible translation, which is what is used for the mass readings in our country. Other countries use other translations, even though it's English. We use the New American Bible translation. It's not the translation I prefer. It's fine, but it's not the one I prefer. But I do want you to know, if you pick up your Bible and you've used another translation like the Jerusalem Bible or the Revised Standard Version, Catholic Edition Bible, if you use those, it's going to read a little differently. So the church uses the New American Bible translation for the readings at Mass. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, and the promise is honor your father and mother that it may go well with you and that you may have a long life on earth. There's a promise that goes with that command. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up with the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, be obedient to your human masters with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not only when being watched as currying favor, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, willingly serving the Lord and not men. This was a time of slavery, but he's saying to the slaves, be obedient to your masters, and serve as though you were serving the Lord himself, because in effect you are. This is what you're asked to do. God will bless it if you offer it to him, even when it's difficult labor or not the labor you want to be doing. Not only when being watched, be obedient to your human masters with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ. Not only when being watched as currying favor, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, willingly serving the Lord, not men. I'm not doing this for man. I'm doing it for God. Every work I do, even all kinds of secular work, doesn't have to be Christian work per se, but that the work of my hands, the work of my mind, the work of my heart, Lord, I offer this to you today. I will do it as well as I can, that you may be honored, that you may be glorified, that I may be drawn closer to you. That's how God uses even the things that we need to do on earth and following the lead of those in authority in our lives, in our workplace, etc., etc. If we do it with the right intention and the right motive, even though the work we're doing is secular work, God will see our heart and bless us. Knowing that each will be requited from the Lord for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. And so Paul says, don't curry favor. Do this for the Lord. Do it for his honor and for his glory. Then he says, masters, act in the same way towards them. So master, slave, both of you before the Lord are equal. Do what you're called to do for the right reasons. Masters, act in the same way toward them. Stop bullying, knowing that both they and you have a master in heaven, and that with him there is no partiality. So do I serve people differently depending on their status in society? If I do, I'm not following the mind of the Lord. Do I curry favor with certain people because it might advance me or give me recognition of some kind? No. Paul says, whether you are slave or free, do what you do for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you will be richly rewarded. Why do you do what you do? Psalm 145, the Lord is faithful in all his words. The Lord is faithful and in all his words. Whatever the Lord has said to us is true. And yes, there are times when we need somebody to help us to understand what he says. Nevertheless, the word of the Lord is true. Do we obey it? Or do we just put it among everything? You know, the newspaper we read, the magazine we look at, the book we read, the TV we watch, the internet sites that we go to. Do we put God's word just as one among all that? Brothers and sisters, don't do it. The word of God is living. The word of God has power to change your life. The word of God has power to heal you. The word of God has power to give you the necessary strength to turn away from bad habits toward him. Yes, we need to rely on him, but the word of God is living. The word of God is intended to lead you into all eternity. Nothing else is going to do that. Heed the word of the Lord. And the gospel is the gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 22 to 30. Jesus passed through towns and villages, teaching as he went and making his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" He answered them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough." Strong enough to give up your sin. Strong enough to give up bad relationships. Even there, you don't do it on your strength and then God rewards you. You cry out to God and God helps you to do it. You're not alone. Will only a few people be saved? Strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. Strong enough to turn away from sin. Strong enough to turn away from bad relationships. And once again, God will give you the power to do it, but he won't take away your free will. You can freely choose. Choose for life. Choose for eternal life. Choose for God. And ask him to give you the strength to overcome the temptations of the sins in which you find yourself. Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then will you stand outside knocking and say, "Lord, open the door for us." And he will say to you in reply, "I do not know where you are from." And you will say, "We ate and drank in your company. You taught in our streets." And he will say to you, "I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers." See, what the Lord is talking about is that we have to enter into a relationship with God. That's part of our free will. We can reject God. And we can say, "Oh, yeah, I know the Lord." Or, "Why, my goodness, I was at every fundraiser the church did. I was at every parish gathering that we had. I gave money to the poor. I did this." That's equal to what the Lord is saying here. "I do not know where you are from." And you will say, "We ate and drank in your company and you taught in our streets." In other words, we were in the same place you were. So why won't you let us into heaven? And Jesus is saying, you can do all kinds of external things. You can be near to me in proximity, but that doesn't say you're one of my followers. He's speaking to the followers of Jesus Christ. Come follow me. He doesn't say just be where I am. Just put in an appearance and acknowledge me and then disappear. Follow me. That's what God is asking. And so he said, and it's harsh, "I do not know where you are from." And you will say, "We ate and drank in your company. You taught in our streets." And he will say to you, "I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, you evil doors. And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. And people will come from the east and the west and from the north and the south, and will recline at table in the kingdom of God. For behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. You can't say, I was at every novena in the parish, and therefore God should do what I want, or God should welcome me into his kingdom. I contributed to every fundraiser. I did this. I did that. And what does Jesus say? I never knew you, because you didn't enter into a personal relationship with God. Yes, it's good to give. Yes, it's good to support the church in all kinds of ways. Yes, but it has to come out of a living relationship. Otherwise, Jesus will look at you and say, I never knew you. You didn't draw near to me. You didn't spend time with me. You didn't seek my mind and my heart. In other words, you didn't enter into a deep relationship with God. And he'll say, I never knew you. Sister Ruth Burroughs, who I have quoted from a number of times, says this: the world in principle is reconciled with God through the death and resurrection of Jesus. The Holy Spirit has been sent among us for the remission of sin. The gate stands open before us, and no power can swing it shut. But each of us has to choose to walk through that gate. If they are few, it is not because what is asked is beyond our strength or ability, but because the gate is narrow. To pass through it, one must be small and unencumbered. In other words, we don't hold out our credentials. We don't hold out everything we've done, quote, for God, when in reality, most of the time, it's for our own satisfaction. But we enter through the narrow gate because we have a personal relationship with him. Much must be left behind, she says, to do this. And this much really means no more than our self-importance. I'm somebody. God should recognize me. Look what I've done for the diocese, for the church, etc. God should recognize me. And it doesn't work that way. Like Nicodemus, says Sister Ruth, we have to become children to go through the gate. Luke adds that we must strive to enter through the narrow gate. We have to pass from this world of sin to God's world. It does not happen, she says, all at once. Baptism does not achieve the passage for us. Rather, it reveals and initiates what, with our whole freedom engaged, we must labor to receive from God. It's coming before God day in and day out, saying, Lord, forgive me my sin. Help me to overcome this sin. Help me to become more and more your disciple. Lead me in the way you would have me go. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Because that's what we are. It doesn't mean we have to grovel, though a little of that isn't bad for our pride. But it means to acknowledge really the state I'm in. I'm a sinner. I'm weak. I'm imperfect. And what touches the heart of God is when we come to him, acknowledge that, and ask him to be with us and to lead us in the way he wants us to go, day in and day out. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, you can receive my free booklet by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. You can also request it by going to our website, renewalministries.net, renewalministries.net. From there, select radio, then select food for the journey, and you'll find a great deal of information available to you. God bless you.